you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. O magnify the Lord with me, let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, August 3rd, 2022, and I know Marianne and Rob, you know why I started off with this verse, because we're going to at least share a little glimpse into the life of a great saint, a brother in the Lord that finished well, and this verse is so appropriate to his life and his legacy. He fought the good fight. We're speaking of Bob Dickey, who's now in the presence of the Lord. He finished the race. He kept the faith to the very end. And this Friday night is his homegoing service. It's from 4 to 6 p.m. They're calling it an open house, kind of a visitation, but it's an open house to celebrate the legacy that he left and to love on his wife, his beloved wife, Gloria, who he talked a lot about and loved to the very end. And then his service is at 6 p.m. It's at the Gibson City Bible Church in Gibson City, Illinois. It's kind of, if you get on Route 47 and head north, and then it does this dog leg through Gibson City, and then you follow it north. You'll come to the Gibson City Bible Church. We appreciate Paul Thomason. He's been the pastor there for many years. I think as long as the radio ministry has been on the air.
Oh, wow.
At least WGNN, like 27 or so years. I think he's going to be retiring in the coming months or the coming year, but he's faithfully served there and was very close to Bob, as so many of us were. And so it's a great loss, a great gain for heaven, but his service will be a time of celebration because he finished well. He's like a model to many of us. Even a couple weeks ago, he was on his way toward a Gideon function. I think he was going to share or certainly participate in, and he didn't feel well and he turned around, but he was witnessing, as you know, Marianne, to the very end. Every time he'd come and pick up the Prime Lifetime's publication these last 5.5 years, and he was in stage 4 cancer these last 5+ years, but survived all the transfusions and the chemo and the radiation and everything he went through, yet always kept that positive attitude and uplifting message. And he just wanted to share Jesus every opportunity he got, and he wanted to still deliver the Prime Lifetime's publication. He said, it brings joy when I walk into the retirement homes or the businesses and people line up.
I think they looked forward to seeing him.
Yeah, seeing Bob and getting the paper, and Bob just faithfully to the very, very, very end and succumbed and needed hospice care a few days ago, and the decline was quick, and he's now in the presence of the Lord.
Yes, it was really very hard to hear that news, Mark. It really was. Yeah. He was a blessing. He was a great blessing to me. I really just have to say thank you to Bob Dickey. I said it to him, but just really a remarkable individual.
Yeah. On Monday night's Singing Men rehearsal, because Bob sang with the Singing Men of GNN, he was on an Israel trip with me with 50 other guys, so that was a special trip, and coordinated many events. We did much together. Probably not enough. I wish I would have done a lot more these last few years, but Bob was a great delight. And you know, he was a part of our Memorization Monday a few years ago. He was the first guest.
Yeah, the first one.
And so somebody said on Monday night, one of the things about Mark when you had Bob on, because we had him on, I don't know, three or four or five times over the years for sure, is he was never at a loss for words because he loved God.
Yeah.
He loved his Bible and he loved sharing. And so somebody said, you know, one thing, because I'm kind of known for talking a lot, but they said, if Bob was on, then you held back because he had so many interesting things to share and say. Yeah. And he loved God's word.
His Bible
was all marked up. And so.
Well, you know that scripture, I don't really exactly, Bob would know where it is, but anyway, about be ready to...
always be prepared to give an account.
There you go.
First Peter. He had that.
Always prepared to talk about the Lord.
And he was considered the vice president of operations of the Prime Lifetimes.
Yeah.
And I've told that story before, that as I was praying up, taking on this publication about 5.5 years ago, I prayed very specifically to the Lord. And I'm not one of those fleece guys, like that I put out a fleece. And yeah. not that there's not anything like the wrong with that. Like Gideon in the Bible, where he put out the fleece and, you know, asked God to, you know, make it wet or then make it dry when it, you know, there'd be dew or whatever on it.
Yeah.
And so I've never really done that. But this was one of the occasions where I thought, Lord, if we're to take on the Prime Life Times, I need two key people that have a vision and a passion and expertise and an interest in it. And Bob was one of the two. You were the other, Marianne. And when I approached both of you and you had ideas and wanted to run with it, doing it this way, and I love that passion. But Bob also, because of his background and his marketing and some of his expertise, I thought he would be a validation from the Lord.
Well, he had so much good input in our meetings. He always had something really highly valuable that contributed to things.
And training the sales staff.
He loved
hosting those meetings. And he was part of my dream team. I told him while he was working with Eastern Illinois Electric Cooperative for, I think, his last 10 years with the co-op, I said, Bob, when you retire, I want you on my dream team, a part of the radio ministry. And we would laugh, and 5 years would go by, 7 years, and I said, remember, when you retire, I want you a part of the dream team. And so when he retired 5 or 6 years ago, he came on board and has been assisting and helping every month with the Prime Life Times, with distributing it and delivering them all over the northern part of our area and just helping in so many different ways. So what a delight. But his homegoing service is this Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. is an open house, and then 6 p.m. is the service at the Gibson City Bible Church. And then also that evening on Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Meadowbrook Church in Champaign, there's the Unity for Ukraine. Mm-hmm. And so that's a special gathering that we've been announcing over the air. Mm-hmm. So two things that we hope many, if not most of you, will participate in this Friday night.
And just to mention, the Unity for Ukraine group has said that, you know, even if someone can't make that meeting, donations are really helpful.
Yeah, missioneurasia.org.
Yeah.
missioneurasia.org. In fact, Pat Benson, a faithful listener all the time. Hey, Pat.
Hi,
she
Pat.
Dedicated a few days for grandsons the last few months. She called in and wanted to donate from Texas. She listens to our streaming audio and wanted to donate for Unity for Ukraine.
Oh, that's great.
Wanted information on
that. That's great.
So
I love it when people come together like that.
Yeah, all the way
that's
in Texas,
great.
And she wants to support this. So.
That's great.
Well, it's Wednesday, and
it
we
is?
Typically read from our beloved Prime Life Times publication and our content contributor extraordinaire, Rob Seidenberg.
Oh, yay, Rob. We like you so much, Rob.
is here in the studio, and we have our publication opened up to page A7, Rural Memories. And there's a title called August in the Hills. What's that all about?
Yeah,
Rob?
Well, you just listen.
Yeah.
You'll find out.
I grew up in the hills and August was hot.
Yes, that's right. That's right. That's perfect synopsis of this entire article.
This is my little brother Richard's 74.
Little Richard?
Oh.
No, he's as big as I am. But my little brother, my younger
brother. This is his birthday?
Richard's birthday, 74 years old today.
Oh, hi, Richard. Happy birthday.
Shout out to Richard.
Happy birthday, Richard.
So, August in the Hills. August. Heat. Dust. 4-H Roundup time. A little fair just for kids and their 4-H projects. Eventually, the 4-H projects would move to the county fair and the Roundup was no more. We never missed the week-long 4-H Roundup, but we seldom made it to the county fair. Summers were busy on the farm. There was hay to make and put up. Of course, there would have been no hay had we not planted the alfalfa a year or two before. We seeded our alfalfa and timothy grass in the late March or early April using an end gate seeder mounted at the back of a flare box wagon.
Stay with us, everyone who doesn't know any of these words. Go ahead, Rob.
And anybody as old as I am who grew up on a farm will know all those words.
Yes, they will.
A big pulley bolted to the left back wheel rim powered the seeder. Even a small boy could keep the hoppers topped up. As Dad pointed out, you didn't have to lift up an entire bag of seed to refill the hoppers. You could just dip some seed out of the bags with a dipper Dad had fashioned from a big tin can. As long as the dipper didn't get wet, it would last practically forever.
Did you have a big dipper and a little dipper?
We really did, and the big dipper was for the grass seed, and the little dipper was for the alfalfa seed.
Since you asked.
Yes. So politely. I did say hoppers, plural. That far north, one sows the alfalfa, birds put trefoil, clover, grass, and so forth in early spring. One hopper held oats, the other held inoculated alfalfa seed. When I farmed later in west central Illinois, we instead sowed alfalfa directly onto the field in early fall. In northwest Illinois, the spring-planted alfalfa needs a nurse crop to protect the plants from the elements as they germinate and grow. Our nurse crop was oats.
Hey, Doug Schroeder, you're enjoying this? I'm thinking of some of my farmer friends, you know. Well, they're not in the combines now, but they're at the tractors or they're overseeing maybe some of their planting and measuring or such.
We harvested oats in August, the hottest, dustiest time of year. Uncle Alvin and Dad had a deal of some kind. Once Alvin's oats were harvested, he came over and combined ours. I drove a tractor to pull a wagon into which Alvin emptied the hopper on the old Alice Chalmers combine. On bottom land, it was hard to keep weeds as much as 6 to 8 feet tall from growing in the oats. Harvesting weedy oats was not Uncle Alvin's favorite activity. When he got into weedy oats, he often commented that he'd rather be at the fair.
Oh, that low.
Alvin often brought along an extra tractor. I really enjoyed driving his Alice Chalmers tractors, which had hand clutches. Also, Alvin's tractors had a real luxury installed, a big square sunshade we always called an umbrella. If you park the tractor just right, you might be able to enjoy some shade.
Hey, going back to the hand clutches,
okay.
I'm sure many are maybe unfamiliar with all the automated and...
Okay,
know.
So nowadays, every tractor manufactured has what's called a live power takeoff. So it doesn't matter what you do with the tractor clutch, you stop, you move, you go, you shift gears. And the power takeoff is a shaft that comes off the back of the vehicle, the tractor, that can power all kinds of different equipment. But in those days, very few tractors had what was called a live power takeoff. So we had a little Ford tractor, we had a J.I. Case tractor, and they certainly didn't have live power takeoff. But with the Ellis Chalmers, you're going along baling hay.
Is this too much information, Marianne?
Does this answer your question, Mark?
Yeah, I was just wanted to get my comment in about three in the tree. Do you remember that?
I remember
that.
Three
in the tree?
I sure did.
I had one of those.
So you pull the hand clutch, the tractor stops, and the power takeoff keeps going. So that was a first kind of tractor that had live power takeoff.
Thank you, Rob.
I think I've been shut down on that line of thought.
That was awesome.
Thank you, Rob.
It was very, very thorough. I don't know what it was, but it was great.
Combining started once the heavy dew had evaporated from the oats, and it ended in time for all participants to milk their cows before supper. Alvin also had hogs and sheep to care for. Cows ate their grain while being milked, and most farmers fed their livestock before feeding themselves both morning and night. We also handled over 1,000 eggs each day, gathering, washing, candling, grading, and packing. We kids fit in a couple hours of egg work among our other chores, homework, and gardening tasks. We got paid to work in the chicken house and egg room. In summer, despite the absence of homework, there was always a plethora of food production work. Think hoeing weeds in the garden.
Well, I'm going back to that 1,000
I know.
Eggs.
I stumbled
so how
over,
many
yeah.
hens, because not all hens lay eggs every day.
Now, you're talking about your hens.
Right.
But our hens pretty much laid an egg a day.
Okay.
A few laid two, but we had a special hybrid Leghorn that was a lightweight bird that produced tremendously, and we'd have 1,000, 1,100, maybe a few more chickens.
Does that answer your question, Mark?
Thank
okay,
you, Rob.
Now
Thank
about
you, Rob.
Now about egg production. Okay.
It's amazing.
Waiting
eggs.
On the waiting on the tractor in the hot August sun for one more hopper load of oats, let me observe all manner of insects, birds, wild animals, and plants. Once a load went to the farmstead, the oats went into the hopper of a grain blower. A giant squirrel cage fan blew the oats up a tube into a small door about 8 feet up the side of the feed shed. I would fire up the old VAC case tractor to power the blower via a flat, pulley-driven belt. Blowing oats into the bin also removed most of the dust, so the operator needed a dust mask. I opened the little door in the wagon end gate and supervised.
So you were following COVID protocol way back
That's
then.
That's right, way before. I opened the little door in the wagon end gate and supervised the gravity flow of the oats falling into the blower hopper. Too much grain at once plugged the entire apparatus, which had to be cleaned out. Slow and easy went far in a day, as they used to say.
I love that saying. Hmm.
Once the oats stopped falling out on their own, a big scoop shovel got most of the rest out. Last came the barn broom to clean every last grain out of the wagon. Hint, They don't sell those anymore. Yeah. You must instead buy a deck broom, which, though identical to a barn broom, now has a new name.
Interesting. Hmm.
After oat harvest, we often got together with Uncle Alvin and his family, usually Sunday after church service. Highlights of those celebratory meals were fried chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, fresh garden vegetables, watermelon, and homemade ice cream. Mm-mm. Such happy occasions made those long, hot August afternoons well worthwhile. And then there's a comment that says, I grew up on a hill farm in northwestern Illinois.
And you can be emailed at rob@primelifetimes.com.
And if you want to see a picture of Rob, just look right here at the corner.
I know, I like that
with
picture.
That beard and a hat
I like that
on
picture
and glasses.
Of you, Rob. Well, this, when I hear you read this and when I first read it, it just, that title is perfect. That hot, I can feel the hot work and then the end with your great meal of fried chicken and I can smell it. Those mashed potatoes and gravy and all those things. I like that article. But I don't understand everything in the article, but it's okay.
I'll explain later.
I'm going to sound ignorant if I start talking about
no,
various.
You won't sound
yes,
ignorant.
Oh, I think no. I will.
No. Thank you, Rob. Real memories in the August edition, which should be in our 400 locations, easily accessed and picked up. You can find out a location near you at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com, under the distribution link, and it's sorted by state because we have a number of locations in Indiana and then a whole bunch in Illinois and maybe a location near you. In fact, I was in Clinton on Sunday, and I'm thinking of a few locations, but we need a volunteer in and around Clinton that could view these places once a month and drop off the papers and help us out. But if you want to help out in your town, give us a call. We can always utilize helpers and coordinate getting you a few bundles to distribute in your area. Usually it means just dropping them off once a month and three or five places. We're still working on getting them to Macomb. I know there's a Catholic school that one of the teachers wrote in or called in. And
well, so she actually wanted to use one of Rob's articles in her classroom. Yeah. That was pretty cool, Rob.
Yep, it was pretty cool. So, and she has permission.
Yeah, and if you want to help us distribute these papers, give us a call, 217-367-7777. 217-367-7777. Well, we'll work it out. In fact, we were getting some into Taylorville, but our Taylorville volunteer no longer goes towards Taylorville. Oh. So we got to figure out how to get papers back over to Taylorville.
Oh, gee.
Or you're part of the listening area. So call in and maybe we can utilize your gifts.
Well, I just feel like saying thank you to all the farmers who harvest oats after reading this article, the oat harvest, because I love oatmeal.
All right.
Well, we love listener mail.
Yes.
And we have some correspondence in front of us. So we have about 4 or 5 minutes to read what you have to say about this radio ministry.
Okay. Reasons. This is from Anthony and Betty Ann in Mount Pulaski. We're longtime listeners ever since WLUJ began, and we praise God for this ministry. This is a WLUJ card.
Wow, that's 35 years.
So many lives changed and souls saved. It's something to shout about.
Amen.
May God bless your staff as you dedicate your time and witness to others.
Hmm. Donna is from Tolono, and on her return address label she has little spinners that you put out and they spin in the wind. And my dad loved those. So it's beautiful.
Hey, Donna.
Mark and staff, the Lord has been good to provide you with your programming that has kept many people who are searching for the Lord strong and those who desire to keep on searching for the peace that he has promised. And what a glorious celebration it is when we learn that God sent his son to save us. Thank you,
Amen.
Donna.
Very nice.
Amen. Thanks. This comes from Jerry and Shirley from Monticello. Hi, Mark. Hope things are good at the new location. Blessings to you and your family. Signed, Shirley. And yeah, she's very pro-life. And whenever there's an event or a gathering, she always alerts us and appreciate her support, her and her husband Jerry's support these many years.
This is from Carol in Milford, and would you guys just look at this gorgeous card?
Wow.
I love it. Beautiful, beautiful, like a secret garden, and there's a little girl with a braid down her back looking at it. I love it. Carol says she remains thankful for 89.3. You bring so much joy to my home with the music you select and the speakers. God bless you and love.
Hmm.
So this one is from Lucia Fox.
Wait, who, what?
This one is from Lucia And she's from Taylorville. Her husband is James.
Hey, James and Lucia?
Lucia. Or maybe Lucia, I'm wondering.
It could be Lucia or Lucia. Thank you for these radio stations. I am blessed by them every day. God bless you.
Nice.
This comes from Daryl from Benilde, Illinois. I receive a blessing when listening to your music selections. Appreciate your support, and thanks for listening and tuning in.
This says Mark and staff from Steve in Urbana.
Oh, Steve writes every month. And Alice, probably.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. Thank you for the uplifting program. The world is better with great news radio in it.
Now, there's some on the back of that. Was there a prayer request or something else that he said at the bottom? Or nothing gets by me.
Please don't read on the air.
Okay. Right.
That's what he said.
Okay.
Okay. And this one comes from Russ in Champaign.
Oh, Russ, a longtime giver. He used to sing with the Singing Men. Come on back with us, Russ. In fact, we'll be singing in Leroy in about 3 weeks, so there's still time to make rehearsals, guys, on Monday nights, and then we'll be that third Saturday, I think around the 20th, in Leroy, downtown in the park, 6 p.m., Singing Men putting on a full concert.
Nice.
Thanks for all you do for God and the communities you serve. Besides radio, Prime Life Times has become a must read. God bless you all, Russ.
Does that encourage you, Rob? Keep on keeping on with us, Rob.
At least I know somebody reads it.
It's become a must read. This so nice.
Yeah. Well, thank you, everyone, for your support, your words of encouragement. Your feedback is always helpful. And if you'd like to write us, we'd love to receive your notes, cards, messages, any information that helps us better be led of God to serve you best. You can write to us at Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. Or WLUJ, 600 West Mason Street, Springfield, Illinois, 62702. WLUJ, 600 West Mason Street, Springfield, Illinois, 62702. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marion Simpkins, and Rob Seidenberg with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.